Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we're here until 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has got the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. We are here. It's a Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. You can get your requests in now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about some food stuff this morning. We're going to talk about celebrity cookbooks, and we're going to talk about childhood snacks and a bunch of other stuff. And as always, we welcome your phone calls and your texts at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. My guest right now is an award-winning screenwriter, author. She's a producer, and she's a TV host. And she's going to talk about how you can pitch your TV idea to a major network. I've got some great information about that. And she's got a bunch of books, and she does TV shows about cooking. Her name is Marianne Radini Spencer. And let's welcome Marianne to the show. Marianne, welcome.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. I'm great. And I should actually say aloha.
Oh, aloha. Yes. Yes. Are you in Hawaii right now?
I wish I was.
Oh.
We spend a lot of time there, and many of my books are about Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I like to call myself the Aloha writer.
Ah. Okay. Well, what is it about Hawaii that you connect so well with?
You know, it's just an incredible place. I started going there on vacation, and when I decided to write my novel, Lady in the Window, I was going to place it in a different town, actually on the East Coast. And I thought to myself when I went to Kauai, especially Hanalei Bay, that I had to place it there because there's something about it. It's just so gorgeous and magical, and it almost felt otherworldly to me. And my book is very mystical, so it just had to be there. Uh-huh. And there's something also about being in nature that I love, and Hawaii is just, there's more beautiful scenery than anywhere in the world, I think.
Well, what's your background, Marianne, and how did you get into writing and all that stuff?
Sure. Well, you know, I studied communications and television and film, and I got a job working for CNN right after I graduated. I was very lucky. I moved to Los Angeles. I was a writer-producer working on entertainment news, and that was a very good experience for me. But to tell you the truth, I knew that I wanted to come to Hollywood and make movies. I just wasn't sure how I was going to manage that. And when I talk to people who are interested in doing that, I really learned that there are different kinds of producers. You know, there's producer of the news, there's producers of television who are usually writer-producers that come up with the ideas and actually write on the series. And then there's film producers. Some people are creative producers, other people are more line producers. But if someone is interested in producing, they really have to have a property. And that's usually a script, whether it's adapted from a novel or it's an original script. You really have to have ownership of that property so you can then pitch it.
What do people need if they have an idea for a TV show, if they have an idea for a movie? How do you take it from that inception of an idea to pitching it and getting it done?
Well, you know, you really have to have, I always tell people, you have to have the script. Now, there are many ways to get the script. You might have a writer friend. If you don't, you might have to pay a writer to write the script. But I always say, if you're passionate about a project, whether it be you have the rights to a book or it's an original story, find out how to put that into a script form. And I say that because many studios, take a book, they may option a novel, but it takes a long time to get things developed. So you want to go to them with a project that you really feel good about that's ready to go if they say, yes, we like this project. More than often, they usually put another writer on to the project, but really it just helps you so much to have that in your hand. And because I get a lot of people sending me treatments, mm-hmm. And or sending me novels, and I just tell them, it takes so long to mount a project. And sometimes it happens fast, but, you know, the average film takes about 10 years. I don't know if people really realize that. See, that's why many producers have a number of projects in the works. And right. what I like to do is I have projects for different mediums. I might have something for TV, might have a documentary, could be something for local television. So I try to find, you know, I have ideas for lots of different things, and I try to see what the best fit is. And that's what I think most producers are doing now. And we're very lucky because we have digital media. You can put projects online. They don't have to be distributed through major motion picture houses, but it's great if they are. But I think that the successful people who are working a lot are content creators, and they figure out how to package their project, where it can go, where it can get distributed. There are so many different ways to do that now. And I think that for a producer, someone who's interested, and this is what I had to learn, I always thought, you know, a studio would make you a producer.
Right.
You have to come up, you have to have the property, and it has to be in a form that they'll accept. And also, in Hollywood, even 10 years ago, production companies could pitch to studios. In Hollywood now, you really need to go through an agent. You also, or you can go through an entertainment attorney, but there are many companies, for many legal reasons, why they just don't accept scripts right off the street.
Right.
So you really either have to align with an agent, and that's a Signatory Guild agent, or an film entertainment attorney. And, you know, you can pay someone to do that. You can pay for or work out a situation with an attorney to be on a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about getting creative and thinking out of the box.
Now, when you have a property, let's say you have the property, uh-huh. you have the screenplay, and you know whom you want to pitch it to, do you have mm-hmm. to do an entertaining pitch? Does it have to be, do you have to keep the people that you're pitching to, you have to keep them entertained?
Absolutely.
What's the best way to do that?
You need to be able to talk about your project in a few sentences.
Right.
And it needs to be, you have to be passionate. You have to, you know, really know what your material is and relate it to certain successful films. You know, it could be something, you know, like a Star Wars, mm-hmm. You know, or is if it's a romantic comedy that's also in space, you know, it could be Romancing the Stone in Star Wars or something.
Yeah.
You know, you have to make it fun, and people have to get it within the first minute.
Right. So if you 30 seconds, I should say. Yeah, no, if you refer to it as, you know, let's say the Three Musketeers in space or something like that, the people get the idea immediately, because those are already well-known films that are established, and you can get your mind wrapped around what your concept is.
Right. And you want to always, you know, again, the energy, the passion you put behind it really needs to come through. And do your homework too. Don't pitch a project, a family project, to a studio that does horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say, unless it's a family horror movie.
Right.
You know, you want to go to the right company that's going to be interested in the kind of property that you have.
Right.
And also read the Hollywood Trades, the Hollywood Reporter, Daily Variety. You can find out what companies are doing what movies and what they're buying. And sometimes they'll even say what they're looking for. So it's, you know, really, there's so many, you almost have to be a little detective in finding out who's doing what and network and go to parties. I mean, most of my deals that I've put together, I've worked in the business where I might be handling something on a film and we're invited to a party and I meet people. You just talk to everyone you know and see who knows who and, you know, network it that way. But I did a film for Hallmark Hall of Fame with Betty White, and I was working with a client and happened to go to a 10th anniversary party, was talking to people, and I overheard someone say, well, we're looking for family films. Went up to the person and said, you know, I'm actually writing a family film right now based on a best-selling novel. Can I pitch it to you when I'm done? And they said, sure. And that actually was made into a movie. Now, it took a number of years for it to be made into a movie, but things like that happen.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of your what are some of your favorite projects that you've done in the past? You know, whether it be TV or movies, what are some of the ones that you're most proud of?
You know, I well, definitely the movie The Lost Valentine with Betty White and mm-hmm. Jennifer Love Hewitt, because it became a Hallmark classic and it won CBS the night with the ratings and stayed in that position for about 5 years as the highest rated
wow.
movie.
Wow.
I also worked with a legendary filmmaker. He gave me my first job in Hollywood, Roger Corman.
Ah, yes.
I should say my first look production deal. And at the time, he was doing a series of movies for Showtime. And I produced three of those movies, and actually he was very instrumental in, you know, getting me my first producing credits. It was amazing. I had actually met him working on another film.
It's funny. We've talked about Roger Corman a lot on this show, and seriously. And the amazing thing about Roger Corman, and so many amazing things about him, is that he really did get so many people their first break. And we're talking like major filmmakers and major
Jack
stars.
Nicholson, Ron Howard.
Yeah. Martin Scorsese. I mean, it goes
yeah,
on and
Gail
on.
Ann Hurd.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was
James Cameron.
Yeah, the list is crazy. Jonathan
Demme,
you know,
and
as well.
I worked with him. He was such an amazing person because he owned his own studio in Santa Monica,
mm-hmm.
and I worked out of his offices in Brentwood. I actually did his PR and marketing. He saw me working PR and marketing on a movie, and he said, "Could you come to work for me?" And he said, I said, sure, but I'm really interested in production. And he gave me a first look deal.
That's amazing.
So I set up partial financing, and if he liked a project, he would match it or whatever. And that's how I did the couple of movies for Showtime. I think that was a 13 or 14 movie order. And we're higher budgets than most of his movies.
Sure.
Those are actually, you know, and it was just a lot of fun. And he could green light a movie like that.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't usually happen.
Marianne, hang on, okay?
Sure.
We have to take a quick break here. Marianne Radini Spencer is with us. She's an award-winning screenwriter, producer, author. She's also a TV host, and we're going to talk a little bit more about when we come back. We're going to talk about her Simply Delicious YouTube channel. She's got a blog and a magazine and all kinds of cool stuff. So we're getting into some kind of the cooking angle of Marianne's life coming up a little bit right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Wednesday. That means it's Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, get your requests in right now at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, here till 5 a.m. And my guest right now is an award-winning screenwriter. She's an author. She's a producer. She's a TV host. She does everything. Her name is Marianne Radini Spencer, and we were just talking about how you can pitch your ideas to TV, to movies, and some of the great stuff that she's done in the past. And now we want to talk a little bit more about what she's doing now. Marianne, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right.
It's been fun. I'm enjoying this.
Thank you. I'm glad. So tell me about the Simply Delicious YouTube channel and everything that's connected to that.
You know, I started, I did some work with Time Warner Cable in Palm Springs area, and they were looking for shows. They did a lot of local programming at the time, and this was probably 2008 or 9. And I used to do a lot of entertainment news with CNN, producing and writing, and then I started doing other shows for other networks, cooking segments, all kinds of lifestyle, health and wellness programming. And they said, we would love to do a cooking show. And there was a very low budget. So I said, you know, we really don't have a budget for talent, but I do cook. I love cooking. I've always collected my own recipes. And one thing led to another. I did a screen test. They said, yes, let's do it. So we did a show, and then that kind of branched off. I moved to Ventura County, California, and I started doing a different kind of a show. And I thought, wow, I'm going to do a blog with this as well. And this is like in 2010. And I, you know, there were blogs and things like that, but I have been a lifestyle writer, food writer, and it was just a passion of mine. And I saw that the market up here could use a local television show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to figure out a way to get it distributed on to PBS stations in Southern California. And so I was doing that, and then I worked with the local paper, the daily paper, Ventura County Star, and some other outlets. And one thing led to another, led to another. So something that grew out of a passion and something that was fun has just taken hold. And I've been able to continue with that show, and I'm growing that. You know, it's in, I have a local column, and as well as having it on PBS. So I still am working on that. You know, I'm still doing more with that, but I just love it because it's such a break from my writing. Mm-hmm. It's very different, but I get to be creative, and we produce, it's on, you know, I do different shows all the time. And when we film, I film it like I do my other, I had done other, daily shows, and we do about 5 shows in a day.
Oh yeah.
We just do them all at once and edit them. And, you know, so I do every couple of months, I do a whole series of shows like that.
Wow. That's,
and it's great.
It must keep you busy, you know, though.
It keeps me very busy, but I tell you, everything feeds into one another because, again, it's creativity, enjoying it, and figuring out, you know, what is your passion and just doing it. And then things have a way of working out, and people, you network with people and you do things. And I, you never know how you're going to meet those next contacts. So I think if you're just enjoying what you're doing and talking about it and putting it out in the marketplace, other things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's always been for me, you know. So I made a commitment to just do things that I really believed in, and I believe in health and wellness, sustainability, and writing about certain themes having to do with, I say, aloha, which means, you know, connecting with others, taking care of the earth, family, friends, and, you know, themes that are, you know, people can really relate to and live by.
You know, speaking of that, Marianne, tell me about the Sustainable Now newsletter that you put together.
Sure. Sustainability Now is a show that came out of a lot of, I have done a lot of environmental writing, just teaching people about how to be sustainable at home, mm-hmm. maybe eco-friendly tips for living for at your office. And I've done so much of it, and I really love it. And I decided, why not continue to do this and take it into other markets? So I have actually a local radio show that's on in Ventura County, 104.1 FM.
Mm-hmm.
And I interview people, talking to them about sustainable practices. And it also is a column in a local paper, and I do a, it's part of the, I actually incorporate it into television as well, producing segments where I'll go to farmers markets and talk to the farmers about sustainable practices and how people can, you know, prepare food more sustainably. And, you know, I just have fun with it.
Yeah.
And so it all, it feeds into the whole Simply Delicious living, healthy living concept.
And you,
and I just, I,
you, and your novel, you have the novel, The Lady in the Window. Are you working on anything else right now? Are you working on another novel, perhaps?
Yes. The Paradise Table comes out next year. It's
okay.
The sequel. It's a mystery. And then I'm working on the third in the series called The Secrets of Grace Manor. And I'm also trying to, I did write the screenplay for Lady in the Window. So my agents are busy trying to set that up, and knock on wood, that'll happen soon. I don't want to wait 10 years for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, so lots of very good things are happening. And I think that that's part of it. You just want to keep going and having a number of different projects in the works. And that's what I do. So no day is ever dull.
Right. It sounds like you should be more busy. But also, now, what are some of your favorite recipes that you share with people? Are there certain ones that stand out for you that are your favorites?
You know, I'm Italian. My background's Italian-Irish.
Me too. Me too, by the way. Me too.
I have family recipes, you know, that I love to make. For my grandmother had a wonderful recipe for eggplant parmesan, and I have a great pesto recipe. The thing that I like to do, whether I'm cooking Italian or, you know, just healthy food, is try to encourage people to eat fresh, organic, non-GMO.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when people hear that, they think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to spend so much money doing that. Well, you know, most of the stores and markets now have great cost, the pricing is perfect on some of these things. And you can go to a local farmer's market. You can seek that out. But I try to teach people how to eat healthy and just really great food, and try to teach them how to use herbs and spices versus a lot of deep frying and, you know, things that might not be that good for you.
Right.
So I want to make it healthy so people feel good and they look good and they have energy. And because I think what you eat can make you feel so good or not.
Right.
And
right.
I know for me, if I have certain things, I can feel it now in my body, and it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So, you know, if you're eating sugar, if you want something sweet, have, you know, I puree fruit like mangoes and pineapples and with a banana or something, and it tastes fabulous. Right. You don't have to have all the sugar laden foods.
Right. Well, it sounds like great advice, and you're keeping so busy. People can check out your website at MarianneRidiniSpencer.com. That's RIDINI Spencer.com or RidiniEntertainment.com for more information. Marianne, it's been a delight talking to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. There you go. Marianne Radini Spencer is her name. Boy, she needs more projects, I think. It's a woman who's keeping really busy. Okay, we are going to take a break for the news. And then after the news, we're going to talk about some celebrity cookbooks and who is the latest celebrity with a cookbook. And if you have any celebrity cookbooks and you want to join us to tell us about which ones you like, which ones are good, or which ones are goofy, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, news is next on WGN.